You know what it's like to be so dirty that you feel unfit to be in the presence of anyone. The first time Shelby and I met Joe and Cynthia Blakely, they had been listening to messages for some time down in Charlotte. And Joe and Cynthia were up here on vacation looking up the graves of some of his ancestors, if I remember correctly. And they decided to come by here. And Shelby and I had been working outside all day in the garden, then in the yard. And we were muddy and dirty from head to toe and sweaty and ragged and a little embarrassed because we were unfit to be around anyone who's so dirty. Do you know what it's like to be dirty before God? Filthy, unclean in your conscience, hiding from God because of your filth. My subject tonight is cleansing blood. Our text will be 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, the latter part. 1 John 1, 7. You can turn there, but before I get to my text, I want to talk to you for a few minutes about the blood, the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. This book right here, God's Holy Word, this book, is a book about blood. If you want to understand this book, read it as having a scarlet thread running through its pages and running through every line. The book is about blood. The blood of a sacrifice. A sacrifice God requires. A sacrifice God provides. A sacrifice God gives. A sacrifice God accepts. Blood. The precious blood of Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, the theme of the book is the blood of Christ. The importance of the blood is found in God's own testimony. He said back in the book of Leviticus, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood. I've given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls." Atonement means to be at one with, a reconciliation. It is a covering. It is a reconciliation. It is a purging of sin to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. It is the blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. He says again in Leviticus, it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat of the blood of no manner of flesh, for the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. This book is about blood. Blood redemption. Redemption from sin and the curse of the law by blood. The ransom of our souls at the price of Christ's shed blood. Redemption, not by the blood of animals, but by the blood of Christ. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. God tells us in His Word that the forgiveness of sin is by the blood. In Christ, we have the forgiveness of sin. Paul says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So that the shedding of blood always accomplishes the forgiveness of sins. Those for whom blood was shed have their sins forgiven. There's no possibility that any for whom Christ shed His blood shall have any sin charged to them. The Word of God declares that justification is through the blood. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. The book of God tells us that we're sanctified, made holy, made completely clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the camp. By His one sacrifice, our Lord Jesus has sanctified forever them that are His. We are made perfect forever through the shedding of His blood. God promises peace to sinners by the blood. Listen to this. You can read it later in Colossians 1. Having made peace through the blood of His Christ, by Him, by Christ, to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven. We have peace with God by the blood of His cross. The love of God is revealed, made manifest to us, and taught to us by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no knowledge of the love of God apart from the blood atonement of Christ Jesus the Lord. Men and women everywhere talk about the love of God in all kinds of fanciful, emotional, silly terms. The love of God cannot be known apart from the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God is revealed in the sacrifice of His Son. He is Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. We have access to God. We come to God freely. Have access to God by the blood of His dear Son. So that having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of all, by the blood we come to Him. We have victory, triumph over all our foes through His blood. They overcame Him. That is, the church of God overcame Satan, the dragon of hell, through the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And the word of God declares to us that everlasting glory is to be given us through the blood of the Lamb. Listen to this, Revelation 7. I said unto him, who are these? He said, sir, thou knowest, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then we read here in 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's my subject. Cleansing blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Did you hear that? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Remember, the life is the blood. So that the totality of all that Jesus Christ, His Son, is, sacrificed at one time for us, all that He is, in all the dignity of His Godhead, in all the perfection of His humanity, in all His righteousness and obedience to God as our substitute, sacrificed at one time when He said, it is finished, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's something glaringly painful here. Sin. Our sin. Your sin. My sin. Sin must be cleansed, or there's no acceptance with God. Sin must be purged. When He had by Himself purged our sins. He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Purged. I don't know of a better illustration. I've given it to you many times. I wear these white shirts all the time. And Shelby scrubs them. I've seen her scrub them till her hands were literally bleeding. Just scrub them because of some stain I foolishly got in them. She scrubs them and puts whatever that stuff is you ladies put on those things and get them clean. And look yonder, just as white as they can be. How come? Because the filth has been purged, completely expunged, gone. That's what the blood of Christ has done. That's what the blood of Christ continually does. It cleanseth us from all sin. Sin is filth upon my soul. Sin is the pollution of my heart. Sin is the corruption within me. Sin is what I am in every aspect of my character by nature. In every aspect of my being, sin is what I am. It must be cleansed. There's a tendency today to forget the wretchedness, the horrid wretchedness of sin. We are dulled in our spiritual senses. So much so that we cease to see sin for being what the Scripture says it is. Exceeding sinful. Exceeding sinful. Nothing funny about it. Nothing laughable about it. Nothing about it to joke, make fun of. God wants to call sin by the worst of all words. He could have called it vile, or wretched, or corrupt, or many other things. But He chooses to call it sin. Sin. Literally, sin is heinous beyond imagination. Sin. When we begin to see how utterly ruinous and horrid sin is, at the same time beholding something of the holy, pure, wondrous, white character of God Almighty, we begin to wonder, is it possible for a sinner like me, one who is sin, to ever come to God with ease of conscience and find acceptance with Him, so that God Almighty, in all His pure holiness, in all His strict justice, in all His perfect righteousness, can wrap His arms around me as the Father did the prodigal, and kiss me and call me to know that He delights to have me. Is that possible? Is it possible? It is only when we see these two things, our utter pollution and God's utter absolute holiness, that the gospel begins to make sense. Indeed, unless we see these things, we'll have very low notions of our Lord Jesus, of His saving work, of His life, of His blood, and of His sacrifice. The more clearly we see our sin and the cleansing from all sin by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, the more our lives will be filled with holy gospel wonder before our God. Oh God, make me to know my sin and make me to know my cleansing by the precious blood of Your dear Son, that I may ever be filled with wonder as I bow before You. Through sin, man has lost the image of God, has lost the presence of God, lost fellowship and communion with God, lost all acceptance with God. Sin brought upon us God's wrath and God's disfavor and God's displeasure. Sin gave us the curse of God's holy law and justice. God's justice and God's law is incensed against sin and cries out against us because of sin. Heaven's gates are shut and sealed against every sinner. Hell yawns for every sinner, dead in trespasses and in sins, because sin must be cleansed. So listen again to John's sweet, sweet, indescribably sweet words. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This is mercy. This is wondrous power to cleanse the entire defilement of our sin from us. Our pollution, vile, horrid, wretched as it is, our sin, filthy as it is, hear me now, is no match for His blood. Our sin, no match for His blood. Our sin cannot withstand and cannot overpower and cannot nullify His blood. Our sin is no match for His blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Through the blood of Christ, every sinner who trusts Him has been made clean and pronounced clean, and is continually, as we trust Him, made clean and pronounced clean by God. We know for certain, based on God's Word, that we have truly and really been cleansed from all sin by His blood. Now, this is not something to be felt before it's believed. It's something to be believed before it's felt. We receive sight by faith, not the other way around. Since Christ was manifested to take away our sins, we know that in Him is no sin. And since He took our sins away, in Him, God sees no sin in us. We no longer have sin because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But Brother Don, you just got through talking about how much sin we are, how bad we are with sin, how corrupt we are. Yes, but in Him is no sin. In Him is no sin. In you, Larry Brown, nothing else. That's all the sin. Well, not really, because Christ is in you. And in Him is no sin. Have you got that? In Him is no sin. Our sin can't be in two places at one time. When Christ was made sin for us and bare our sin in His body on the tree, God removed all sin from us and gave us perfect righteousness in His Son. The Lord Jesus Christ has put away our sins. Therefore, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. God Almighty imputed our sins to His Son when He made Him sin. And having once charged Him with sin, He cannot charge me with that sin for which Christ suffered and died unless God vacates His throne and destroys His own justice. Justice won't allow it. Justice will not permit God in heaven, His own just character, His own law, will not permit God in heaven to charge me with sin if He charged my sin on His Son. All right, I want to answer two questions. First is, whose blood are we talking about? That's the first thing to be answered. And second, what do we have by the blood? Whose blood are we talking about? We're talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. The blood of Jesus. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. The blood of Jesus. Jehovah our Savior. Jehovah Jesus. He who is God come in our flesh. Our great Joshua. Jehovah who saves. Jehovah who redeems. Jehovah who delivers. Call His name Jesus, for He came here to save His people. They were already His people, as we saw this morning when He came, by divine election, by the gift of God and covenant grace. They were already His people. He came to save his people from their sins by the sacrifice of himself. It's the blood of Jesus, the Savior, who is the Christ. The Christ. Throughout the Old Testament scriptures, from the time that God made promise to Eve in Genesis 3:15 that her seed would crush the serpent's head, until the close of Malachi's prophecy, the prophets and the law spoke of one who was coming, God's Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed, and declared that he, the Christ, the Messiah, would, by the sacrifice of himself, bring in everlasting righteousness, make an end of sin, fulfill all the law, fulfill all the prophets, fulfill every word written by him. And he that believeth that Jesus, that man born at Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, is the Christ. He that believeth that he actually did everything the prophet said he would do, fulfilled everything the prophet said he would fulfill, that man born of God. He's born of God. This blood then is the blood of Jesus the Christ, his Son. God incarnate. God in human flesh. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. We're talking about the blood of him who is God in our nature. The Apostle Paul tells us that it is the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. God has blood and poured out his blood for us? Yes, sir. In the person of his Son, God and man joined in one person, Jesus Christ our Redeemer, God gave his life for us. God gave his life for us. We're talking about the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. Now, one of the most wonderful, glorious descriptions of our Lord Jesus and his great preeminence is found here in Colossians chapter 1. As the apostle begins this sentence in verse 14 and goes through verse 20, he begins with blood and ends with blood as if to tell us that Christ's preeminence, Christ's glory, is all wrapped up in his blood and the shedding of his blood. But let's back up to verse 9. Paul has heard from Epaphras, the pastor of the church at Colossae, about their faith and their faithfulness and their commitment to Christ and his gospel. And Paul says, for this cause, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might know what God's purpose is, that you might have great wisdom and understanding, knowing God's purpose, that God's will is the salvation of his people. God's will is the salvation of his people. Have you got that? God's will is the salvation of his people. And everything he does to that end. Oh, what wisdom and spiritual understanding to know that, to walk in that light. All right, verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Oh, walk worthy of the Lord. Walk worthy, that is to walk as one who truly is God's, to walk in this world as one who believes God. Live what you profess. Live what you say you believe. Being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness. And all of this is connected with this wisdom and spiritual understanding, knowing his will. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. The word is worthy, or fit. Made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Not is making us meet. Not shall make us meet. Bill Raleigh, if you believe on the Son of God, God the Holy Spirit here says you are right now worthy of heaven's glory. Worthy of heaven's glory. How can that be? Through the blood of Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now watch this, verse 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood. And here it is again, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. The Lord hath made all things for himself. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. He is the pre-existent eternal God. And he's the one that holds everything together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. God, the triune Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has determined that the incarnate God-man, our mediator, Jesus Christ, God's darling Son, have all preeminence in all things. Read on. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. God the Father, that is the triune Jehovah. Notice those words, the Father, are in italics. The triune Jehovah is pleased that in him all fullness should dwell. And he is made preeminent, exalted, given dominion over all things because of the blood of his cross, by which we have the forgiveness of sin. Sin and death are always linked together. The effect of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. When Adam sinned in the garden, he died, and we died in him because we sinned in him. Sin drove Adam out of the garden. Sin drove Cain out of the presence of the Lord. The wages of sin is death. You who have not been reconciled to God by the blood of his Son are dead, spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins. It's my prayer. Oh, it is my prayer that God will this very day give you life, sprinkle your consciences from all guilt and sin by the blood of Christ, giving you faith in his dear Son. All that the God-man, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ was when he walked on this earth, in all his holy humanity, in all his divine dignity, glory, and honor, was sacrificed upon the cursed tree for us. The life is in the blood. And what a life that was. Jesus Christ comes into this world, God in the flesh, always doing his Father's will. Even when he broke his mother's womb, coming into the world, he said, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O my God." All his life long, he, the God-man, walked on this earth in perfect righteousness. And all that he is, all the preciousness and immeasurable worth and dignity of the life of God is represented in the blood of Christ. The pouring out of that blood on the cross was the pouring out of his soul. With all its infinite wealth and purity, love and power, with all its infinite merit, worth, and efficacy, hear this. He gave himself for us. He, the Son of God, gave himself, the totality of his being, when he laid down his life upon the cursed tree for us. All of that I have said easily, but who can grasp it? Only the triune God can understand and fully appreciate the value of the eternal blood of Christ, God's dear Son, shed for our sins at Calvary. Who will dare say the price was not enough? Who would dare so blaspheme God as to suggest that God yet demands more? Who would dare suggest that the price given, His blood, Himself, the very life of God laid down for us, somehow is a failure? Is the blood of Christ effectual blood? Indeed it is. People often talk about, for whom did Christ die? I can settle the issue. Who died? That's the question. If somebody perishes for whom Christ died, then Christ is not God. If His blood fails to achieve all that for which His blood was shed, then Christ is not God. And you're yet in your sins, and this book is a farce, and you have no hope, and nobody else does. Oh, but He who died is God. He who died is God in the flesh. And the life of God given for sin is thorough and effectual and infinite and efficacious, putting away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. For what has been accomplished for us by the blood? I'll give you five things. One, propitiation. Look in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, reading that text of Scripture, you must understand the word world in one of two ways. Either it means that every sinner in the whole world has the blood of Christ as a justice-satisfying, propitiatory sacrifice which God has accepted for them, and they all shall be saved, which is certainly not the truth. Judas was in hell when Christ died. The sons of Korah were in hell when Christ died. Balaam was in hell when Christ died. Well, what's this talking about then, the whole world? Alan is talking about God's elect, wherever they're found throughout the world. He's the propitiation for our sins. He is the justice-satisfying atonement for our sins. This word propitiation is elsewhere translated mercy seat. Mercy seat. When God first began to reveal Himself to Adam after the fall, He sacrificed a life and made for Adam and Eve coats of skins from the slain victims, and thus picturing the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed blood. A life by which our sins are covered, and justice is satisfied, and an angry God is propitiated. Now, nothing will provide you with a covering long enough and broad enough to wrap yourself in except the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the propitiation for our sins. The mercy seat. In the Old Testament, they had an ark in the Holy of Holies, just about the size of this table right here. And inside that ark was Aaron's rod that had manna, life from death. Inside that ark was the golden pot, the golden pot that had manna, the bread of life, and Aaron's rod that budded life from the dead. And inside that ark were the broken tables of God's law by which condemnation and death are pronounced upon us. But over top of the ark was a golden lid called the mercy seat, the propitiation. God said when He made that mercy seat, I will meet you on the mercy seat between the cherubs. I'll meet you there where the cherubim are looking constantly on the mercy seat. And in that mercy seat, once a year, the high priest would go in with blood, the blood of the appointed sacrifice, the Passover lamb, once a year, and he would put blood on the mercy seat. Blood to cover God's broken law. Blood by which God declared, we shall have life from death. Blood by which God promised us bread forever. Mercy seat. Blood atonement. Propitiation. Blood which God Almighty, with the sweet incense with which it was offered, smelled it and smiled. Blood to please God. Blood to satisfy justice. But all that was just ceremonial. All that was just a picture. None of it really accomplished anything. It pointed to Him who is the propitiation for our sins, in whom, by a sweet smelling savor, we are accepted to God in the blood of His dear Son. Number two, the blood of Christ results in redemption, the purchase of our souls. Turn to 1 Peter 1. I referred to this a few minutes ago. 1 Peter 1. The blood of Christ was not only a covering for sin, not only an atonement, not only a justice-satisfying propitiation, but a ransom price paid for the sinner. This is how Peter expresses it. 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain, your empty, meaningless, worthless manner of life, your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. Our great God and Savior, the Apostle tells us in Titus chapter 2, gave Himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity. The Church of Christ He purchased with His own blood. Our Lord Jesus redeemed us. Now, sin is spoken of in Scripture as a debt. By all means, it is a debt. But it is much, much more than a debt. Sin is a crime. A crime that must be punished. A debt that must be paid. And the Lord Jesus Christ redeemed us from our sins by fully satisfying the justice of God when He took to Himself the sword of justice and shoved it in His own holy soul until the sword of justice was swallowed up in Him. And now He redeemed us. Redeemed us. Bought us out from under the curse of God's holy law, being made a curse for us. Redeemed us. To redeem means to buy back or to buy out of. And the Lord Jesus purchased us out from under the curse of God's holy law, and then at the time of love appointed by God from eternity, sends His Spirit, and on the merit, on the basis of the blood shed for our ransom, comes and delivers us from the kingdom of darkness and translates us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Turn back to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, I want you to see again how the Scripture speaks of this redemption. Verse 3. I know you can quote it, but I want you to read it. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. How on this earth are you going to be made holy and without blame before God? How on this earth shall God's end in predestination be accomplished? In whom we have redemption. Deliverance by blood. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. That's the third thing we have as a result of the blood. The blood of Christ has not only made a covering for sin, as the mercy seat covered the broken tables of the law, is not only a price sufficient and effectual to ransom the sinner, but it also is the forgiveness of sin. In Him, through the shedding of His blood, we have the forgiveness of sins. He was manifested to take away our sins, approved for the purpose of taking away sin. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. And on the cursed tree, He suffered all the hell of God's wrath, being made a curse for us. And now, by His blood, we have the forgiveness of sins. God has forgiven our sins. He describes it this way. I am He that blotteth out thy transgressions. Who will not remember thy sins. I've cast your sins behind my back into the depths of the sea of infinite forgetfulness. God's grace and mercy comes to us in free, full forgiveness of sins according to the fullness and efficacy of Christ's sacrifice and His blood. Not according to our merit, but according to His merit. Not according to our worth, but according to His worth. And then fourth, look at Hebrews chapter 10. By the blood, we have access to God. Now, where the remission of these is, there is no more sacrifice, no more offering for sin. Look at verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That word boldness means freedom. Freedom. Some of you are trying to hide from God. I know that. I know that. You try to hide under efforts of good works, reading your Bible, coming to church. You try to hide from God so that you don't have to deal with yourself, you don't have to deal with Him. You hide from Him because you know you're not fit for Him. You know you're not fit for Him. Whenever you think about God, you cringe. Whenever you think about judgment, you get tense. When you think about death, you're fearful because your conscience is unclean before God and you have no freedom of access to God. But we who believe by the blood of Christ have boldness to enter into the holiest of all and come to God. Boldness. The word Rex is freedom. Freedom. So that we lift our hearts to God and cry, My Father. My Father. Have freedom by a new and living way which He has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. In full assurance of faith. Oh, you can't do that. You can't have that. You can't if you trust the blood. You can't if you got no other hope. You can't if the only thing you bring to God is the blood. The life, His Son, bring Him Jesus Christ. Come to Him in Christ. Come to Him believing Christ. And you have full assurance of acceptance. Now, if you try to add, I've lived a good life. I trust the Lord. If you try to add, I trust the Lord and I've been the best mama I could. I trust the Lord and I've been a good daddy and a good husband. I trust the Lord. I've been faithful in all my affairs. You've got no freedom. And you know it. And you know it. And no assurance. No peace. Oh, but if you come to God and bring Him what He provided and He requires and He accepts. Perfect freedom. Perfect freedom. You've got a debt. A debt has been hanging over your head. A debt you've not been able to pay. And your creditor is somebody you know personally, and you try to dodge him when you see him. Hide from him. If you hear the phone ring, you look, see who's calling. We've all let that one go. You don't need contact with them. And then you have the money in hand, and you can go pay the creditor, and you walk right into his office and lay it down with confidence, knowing that your creditor must and gladly will accept the payment for the debt, and there's no reason to question it. Will you hear me? God, in his holiness, in his justice, in his truth, must and will accept the payment for your crime and your debt, the blood of his dear son. Bring it to him, and God smiles. Bring it to him, and God smiles. Here's one other thing we have as a result of the blood. Look at our text. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. So perfect is the wondrous work of grace on our behalf that the very defilement caused by sin is forgiven, purged away, forgotten, never to be remembered against us. The blood of Christ keeps continually purging away everything that would mar our fellowship with God, our fitness for his approval, and that which makes us his delight. Oh, how I love these words. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Give me a minute more, will you? All sin. Will he forgive all sin? Will he cleanse all sin? Every sin we've committed, do we not sin with every breath we draw? Is not every lustful desire sin? Every proud thought, every wicked imagination, every unkind suspicion, every unbelief, every working of the depraved heart of man, all is sin. We committed sin when we were born. The wicked go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. As soon as we could stammer out words, we stammered out lies. As soon as we could consciously act in our depravity as small children, we walked in sin. And all the days of our youth and all the days of our adulthood, continually growing in sin and in rebellion. Will he forgive sins of thought, of look, sins of action, sins of omission and commission, sins of infancy, sins of childhood, sins of youth, sins of old age? Will he forgive all my lust, all the filthy workings of my flesh, all my vile affections, all my stupid pride, all my vain hypocrisy, all my covetousness, envy, hatred, and malice, all the abounding iniquity, all the exceeding sin that I am? The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen.